When the pain of life hits, who or what do you run to first? Because who or what you run to first is who or what you are enslaved to. That's why in the midst of your pain, the power to overcome is from a posture of total dependence on God. Don't miss that. In the midst of your pain today, the power to overcome is from a posture of total dependence on God.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're fired up about today's program because we believe with great confidence that God is going to use this program in a mighty way, all for the praise of His glory. Oh, how I love the Psalms. And so I invite you right now to join me in Psalm 94, looking at verse 19. As we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Our Anxieties Are Crushed by God's Comforts.
You say, how do you know? Preacher, how do you know that God loves you? Let me give you this quick illustration. I have four kids. If you saw their mother, you would realize why they had their good looks. Amen? You're not supposed to amen at that. If it came down to me giving one of them for you so that you might live, the answer's no. Don't think about it. Don't need to pray about it. Amen, 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 amen. Don't need to do it because it's not happening. Love you. Having a great time. We have a young one speaking in tongues. You see my point? People say, I wish Jesus would do something for me. I've heard people say that. I wish Jesus would do something for me. I look at them and go, let me get this straight. I want to make sure I'm tracking. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Let me make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. You, they look, yeah, me, wish Jesus, yeah, would do something for you. Uh-huh. And I just stare at them. You want Jesus to do something for you. He went to the most brutal, inhumane execution as he took your place. As he literally said, wait, time out, time out. I'm going to be the substitutionary atonement for their sin, for their wickedness. And I'm going to die the death they should have died. And let me get this straight, Mr. You want Jesus to do something for you. At that point, he's confused. He's like, oh, yeah. He did the one thing that you couldn't do, that I couldn't do. I mean, the cross, the empty tomb, the whole plan of salvation shows that we are completely beyond self-repair. It's just the mercy of God. It's the grace of God in your life and my life today that we're filthy rags on our best day. That we are not worthy, but we've been made worthy through the righteous, royal, imputing blood of Jesus Christ. It's His comforts. Your comforts, oh God. What's comforts? Comforts there is compassion, it's solace, it's mercy. Mercy. I made this note, key number two, just make a note of this. Key number two, our anxieties are decimated by looking heavenward, not inward. Let me say that again. Our anxieties are decimated by looking heavenward, not inward. Two quick thoughts. Your pastor's alluded to this already this morning. I love when he says that God, Jesus, man, they're undefeated. Amen? Man, it's like running clock when you play against those guys. Amen? Remember Mercy Rule? You know, you're playing Little League, whatever it is, and like it's the second quarter, and it's like, you know, 95 to nothing, right? And you're getting just absolutely pummeled, and it's like, mercy, mercy, you're crying uncle. Man, when you go against God, you're crying uncle. You see this, that it's God and his victorious son, Jesus, that he ran out of that grave, I believe. I don't think he stumbled. I don't think he was partially wounded. I believe Jesus Christ burst forth in glorious praise as he went from the tomb on that third day. And when he stands in victory, as the song says, sin has lost its curse on me. I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. That's why it's so key that anxieties, we understand this, are decimated. They're crushed. Our anxieties are crushed. They're decimated by God's comforts. God doesn't go, okay, John, let's see. I've seen a lot of anxieties, but wow, this is a big project. And we're going to give it our best. And we're going to hope, cross our fingers. Come here, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Maybe the three of us can somehow work this thing out. That's not how God works. Man, his blood, that imputing blood, when it is on you, the true believer, that picture this, that his blood, it covers you. Amen. That you're under the covering of Jesus Christ. That literally, that his blood is smeared over the doorpost of your heart. And God passes over. That he looks at Jesus and looks through his blood to see you. And when he looks through the blood of Christ to see you, you are now white as snow. I was thinking of that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of what? Your circumstances changing? In light of you finally getting that job you've always wanted? In light of the circumstances going your way and finally God's doing what you want him to do? No, just simply in the light of his glory and his grace. Man. See, that's where things go strangely dim. Man. Will God go our way? Sometimes he does, praise Jesus. Other times he says, no, I got a better plan for your good, for my glory, he says. Man. It's going to be painful, and it might be the road marked with suffering, but you can turn your eyes upon Jesus. And even in the midst of your struggle today and the trials, the things of this earth can grow strangely dim, but only in the light of his glory and his grace. If you put anything else in there, it will fail. That's why in the midst of your pain, the power to overcome is from a posture of total dependence on God. Don't miss that. In the midst of your pain today, the power to overcome is from a posture of total dependence on God. I love John 15, verse 5. I love that text. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? And what does he say there? He goes on and says that he who abides in me and I in him does what? They bear much fruit, for without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can't do anything without Jesus. Psalm 119, 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Maybe that's you here today. You're saying, oh, I'm so afflicted, God. The psalmist writes, revive me, bring life to me, breathe life into my soul again. How? According to your word. Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. I love that one. Strengthen my weak hands, O God. Make firm my feeble knees. O God, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Amen. Proverbs 28, verse 6, just listen to the first part of this one. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Wow. That'll rock your world, won't it? How many of you got this morning going, ooh, I can't wait to get to church to be called a fool? Of course not. But here's what the word says. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. How many times do I'm talking to me. How many times do I, in the midst of my pain, if I'm honest before you today, trust in my own heart? I'm embarrassed to say. That's foolishness on my part. I got to repent from that and turn from that wickedness and throw myself on the mercy of Jesus Christ, where he says, come home, come home. Kill the fatted calf. Don't get a calf that's on Weight Watchers. No! Go get a fat one. Kill that calf. My son, my daughter who was lost has been found. There's a party going on, amen? So what's the last part of the verse? In the multitude of my anxieties, your, God's comforts, not yours. Nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do, period, that can bring your soul the peace and joy and contentment that it craves for, that it thirsts for, that it hungers for. Only the righteous royal blood of Jesus will do. Amen. Your comforts, what do? They delight my soul. I love this thought of this word delight. I want you to picture that word delight right now. Just kind of picture that spelled out, delight. It literally means this, to be blinded with joy. Kind of two oxymorons, aren't they there? I mean, blinded joy? Doesn't make any sense. Contradiction in terms. Blinded with joy. Joy in what is the key? That's why the last key, key number three, is this. Anxiety that is drenched in God's comforts produces a soul that is drenched with delight. Let me say that again. Anxiety that is drenched with God's comforts produces, okay, picture. So we got these anxieties that are drenched. Get the visual, church family. You know, we just don't go to God and go, hey, you know, do you mind if I just dip my toe in your water? He's not looking for you to dip a toe in his water. No, he wants you to take a bath. He wants you to baptizo, to literally be immersed, to go under. That when it's drenched, when the anxieties, when the dark nights of your soul are drenched, just flooded with God's comforts, this produces a byproduct. There's a working. We just sang about how even when I don't think you're working, what are you doing, God? You're still working. You're the way maker, right? You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. Oh, you're the light of my darkness. Hallelujah. See, he's producing. The word says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, and they're working out, they're producing an eternal weight of glory. Working, God's working. Yes. He's in the midst of your pain. Oh, he talks to us on the mountaintop, but he screams at us in the valley. He talks on the mountain, but he screams in the searing valleys of your pain. The question is, are we listening and are we obeying? Drenched. Do we got it? Drenched. Producing, working. God's working today. Preach, I hear you, but God's so far from me. Oh, no. You're so far from him. Drenched, bathed, immersed in his comforts. No alcohol, no drugs, no affairs, no pornography. Fill in the blank. Satan's got his buffet out there, doesn't he? Have you ever figured this out, by the way? Satan's got a smorgasbord, a buffet. Satan's got the greatest golden corral going. And do you understand this? Satan could care less which side of the cliff you drive off on, just as long as you drive off and take a bunch of people with you. So he just opens up his buffet and says, pick your poison. You know this, and I know this, that all that nonsense leads to heartache, despair, consequences, broken dreams, and broken relationships. But in the midst of all that, the righteous royal blood can cover all that of Jesus Christ. Because he's a way maker. A promise keeper. A miracle worker. A light in the darkness. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Honestly. When the pain of life hits, who or what do you run to first? Because who or what you run to first is who or what you are enslaved to. When the pain of life hits, not if, but when, all of us, me at the top of the list, when it hits, who do you run to first? What do you run to first? Because who or what you run to first is always who or what we are enslaved to. It's who or what we worship. It's who or what we think in our minds, point number one, that we think, this is going to dull the pain. This is going to fill the void. No, the only thing that will dull your pain, that will fill your void, that will break your chains, that will get you off that cycle of despair, that will free you from the prison that you're living in today, that will free you from the suffering and the silence as you suffer in silence. The only thing that will free you from that is that righteous royal blood of Jesus Christ. Period. The soul is deep, deep, deep down into the wellspring of who we are. And the seeming solutions of the world only reside on the surface as false hope. But the comforts of God are driven like a dagger deep, deep, deep into the wellspring of our souls. And the anxious, weary, broken-hearted, downtrodden person moves from these dark nights of the soul to total delight in the comforts of God. Yes. That's why those who walk the road of greatest pain are prayerfully the ones who savor the road of greatest delight. Seeking joy absent of Jesus will never bring joy. It only brings counterfeits or fruitless joys. That's why joy is Jesus, others you, right? But often, if I'm transparent before you today, in those moments of foolishness where I'm trusting in my own soul, my own heart, and my own wickedness, that I really got yodge. Me, you, others, and then Jesus somewhere down on the list, if he's on the list. No, we want joy. You say, preacher, I need some scripture on this. Well, I'm glad you asked. Nehemiah 8:10, you guys know this one. For this day is holy, Nehemiah 8:10. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lamentations 3:22 through 24. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Amen. How about Psalm 1:1-3? Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Did you catch that? But his delight, her delight, is what? In the word of the Lord. See, what happens is you pour the word in you. You pour it in you. You just dump the word of God in you every day. You armor up every morning. You get the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and you armor up. Because the enemy's coming. And we can't be like those people who go out into battle with no armor on. No, we armor up. We suit up. And we know confidently that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. We know that since our God is for us, who can be against us? We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper as we rest in the royal righteous blood of Jesus Christ. He meditates day and night. He's a tree. He's anchored. He's rooted deep. That's how you're going to survive the storms of life. Not if, but when. You got to be rooted deep by the word of God. And that's why lastly, 2 Corinthians 12:10, here's Paul writing. Just listen to what he says in the midst of all his challenges. Shipwrecked, beaten, abandoned by friends, stoned. Just think about what Paul went through. Think about what Jesus went through. Therefore, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 12:10, I take pleasure. In the original language, it means this, I delight in. I mean, this guy was either like really on fire for Jesus or he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, this dude went through just about everything you can imagine. And here's his response, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, in light of what was just said, all the challenges, all the trials, I take pleasure, I delight in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't God awesome? Isn't it just a glorious honor to serve the Lord? To be faithful? For you church family, you've been faithful for 21 years. I believe, as I said earlier, the greatest days are yet to come. I believe that. You got a great pastor. He's a lover of the word of God, a preacher of truth. Don't take that for granted. Oh, God, I pray you bring revival and awakening to this church today, God. I pray you stir in our hearts like never before. That song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. See, when your life is hidden with Christ, you no longer sing with your mouth. You don't sing with your mouth. You sing with your heart. And you begin to say, great is thy faithfulness. And you begin to say that I know my Redeemer lives. You begin to sing and say that a mighty fortress is my God. You begin to sing and say that on Christ the solid rock I stand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Here's my concluding thought. It reminds me of a story years ago. There was a lady who was driving out in the far west there where it was snowing. Do you guys know what snow is? Probably a bad illustration. Go with me. Work on it. It's white. Falls from the sky. It's snowing and a blizzard blows through. She can't see where she's going. Her compass, her rudder, if you will, has been lost. After a few moments go by, she notices a light that's faint in the distance. And when you're in trouble, light is good news typically, amen? She gets closer and closer and closer and closer and realizes, of all things, in the midst of the storm, it's a snowplow. Good news to someone in a blizzard, amen? She begins to follow the snowplow. And she follows and follows and follows. And the snowplow driver begins to realize that someone is tailing him very closely. He pauses for a moment, and pulls to the side, gets out of his snowplow and walks to her car behind him and gently taps on the window, and she rolls down the window and he says, "Ma'am, where are you heading?" She says, "I need to get to Denver, but I can't in the midst of this blizzard." And he says, "Lady," he says, "I wish you the best, and I hope you get there, but I'm plowing a parking lot." If we're not anchored to this glorious word and feasting on it and just saying, "God, I'm riddled with anxiety, but I know that though you may slay me, I'm going to trust in you. That you say that I've taken your word and I've written on the tablet of my heart, and it's a frontlet to my eyes, and it's bound around my neck, and it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that I might not sin against you." See, unless you have this word buried in you, not the gimmicks and games of the world, the word, just the word of God, you're following the wrong light. Come on. And you may think you're headed in Denver, when in reality, you're doing circles in a parking lot.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.